Yeah, that was a bottle open. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Sots Watch, and a special holiday one at that. We'll start things off as usual. I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug.
And folks, today, in honor of Thanksgiving, you know it, you love it, it happens every year, we are going to be discussing our favorite movie tropes, kind of like the inverse of our previous gripe episode, talking about all the tropes that we hate in movies. We are instead going to give thanks to some of our favorite tropes among films. But before we get to that, I, myself, am drinking a Sam Adams Winter Lager.
Staple.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is labeled as warm and festive.
Would you agree?
So, I don't know. It feels cold to me, but... Well,
Is it delicious?
It is. I don't know if I've had this one before. Maybe I have.
Sam Adams is kind of hit or miss for me. Sometimes I'm like, it really hits the spot, and then other times it's just like, I don't know. I see what you're going for, Sam, but...
Sure.
I feel like, though, of the, like, national, the big boys, they are more adventurous.
For certain. Yeah. Absolutely. And they're, like, their quote-unquote craft entries, I would say, are much more craft-like than, like, what Budweiser calls its craft beers, or...
Well, and Sam Adams will often, their craft beers are like... Well, it's the reason the boiler guy got a bunch of money in Lincoln here, was they'll have contests, and it's actually actual craft beer that they distribute, so... It's quite neat. Also, they just have some good beers that, like, Budweiser wouldn't dare try to make.
Cool. What are you drinking, Doug?
I'm drinking Zipline's IPA, the Green Label IPA. It's really good. It's a good IPA. It's a little juicy, little fruit finishes, but it's just a very well-made standard.
Very nice. I myself am enjoying one of my favorite beers from the Dudes Brewing Company in California. It is Grandma's Pecan English Style Brown. Ooh. It is like... Oh. Drinking a slice of pecan pie, and I mean that in all the good ways and the bad ways. It's not as crunchy, but it can be like overly sweet, but if you are in the mood for something that's like really malty, brown, sugary, sweet, it is insane how much flavor this beer has.
Now, you said that was a California brewery. How exactly did you come across that, Ben? I'm curious.
Oh, I didn't. Did you not know? I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, you do? Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, that is...
So that here's is what news. I'm envisioning. It's wintertime in Los Angeles. Ben looks out the window and thinks, you know what? It's getting down into the low 80s. I think I should get a nice pecan pie beer.
What it actually is I'm looking out the window, and the whole state is on fire.
I was going to say, you're seeing everything on fire. I don't think it's possible to get to the low 80s right now with everything on fire.
I get the smell of hickory, and it goes. The hickory smell goes well with a pecan beer.
Oh, gracious.
Oh, now we got to go up from there. Do you guys know any... Do people say pecan?
I have heard, and
it's pecan, right?
I always say pecan, but then it's, because do you say aunt or do you say aunt?
I say aunt most of the time.
See, I'm the same way, but sometimes it's like, it feels weird coming out with that hard depending on the syllables before it. But also, there are times where it's like, I don't know, it feels like if you say aunt, that seems like it seems more natural to say aunt in certain contexts.
Sure, I hear you. I will say when I'm getting a particular type of cookie, I will ask somebody to pass me some pecan sandies. Because something about pecan sandies doesn't sound right to me.
That's true.
Yeah, you know lose. What? Yeah, hearing that, I'm with you on that. Some pecan sandies.
The assonance? Is that what it is when it's a sound within the word instead of the sound at the beginning of a word.
Oh, maybe.
We're going to go with yes, sure. Because no one ever comments anyway. So we'll never know if we're wrong. I sometimes get texts from my brother about when
I do too, but he's on the show, so.
Well, that's family tradition. Just once a month. Hey, you're wrong.
He just likes to tell
about
me.
About what?
Just, I know something. I corrected you on the show, but I wanted to do it again.
Well, have we... Yeah, movie news. Dollars.
Yeah, let's talk about Venom.
Why?
I'm not mad, in theory.
You're not mad.
I'm not mad in theory. I'm not in theory. I am mad in real time. But I'm mad not because Venom's doing well, but because I know what Sony's going to do after this, and they're going to be like, aha, Venom was successful. Now we can make the Carnage movie and the Venom T-Rex movie and the Venom takes over Wolverine, even though we don't have the rights to that, so we'll just make up a different character that's a little bit like Wolverine and call him the Badger.
Oh yeah, it was no surprise to me that Sony was just gonna go down the line of like, oh, this villain movie worked out all right. Let's take every single other Spider-Man villain that hasn't already been snatched up. We can't do the Vulture, clearly, because well, I guess they still could. They still technically.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is exactly.
But yeah, there's already a is it Mobius. That is allegedly going to be played by Jared Leto.
Shocker!
Hooray!
Hey guys, we need an emaciated white guy. Get me Jared Leto.
No kidding. And his Joker was bad, although that wasn't necessarily his fault.
It wasn't his fault entirely. Just like 75%. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean, although what has me excited about a Mobius movie is the potential of a new Blade.
I did hear rumor they are trying to well, Blade is coming back in the comics at least. I heard rumor that there may be a TV series.
Yeah.
But well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, they've been, you know, with the exception of Power Fist, they've been doing pretty well on...
Iron Fist?
That's it. Yeah. It was Power Man Iron Fist who made up... never mind.
Power Fist wasn't... You weren't watching Cinemax late at night, and you just got it mixed up.
Hey. You know I was. Why would you ask me that? Yeah, so, I mean, that could be good. Although, I don't think I want to see anyone but old Wesley play Blade, like
even 60-year-old.
Who knows? Blade. He might make a return as a as an older Blade for whatever reason. A vampire ages.
I love it. Shut up. He's the Daywalker. He's a little different.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. But yeah, Venom. We kind of went on a tangent there of different Marvel properties.
Yeah, I don't know.
Somehow Venom is still.
That's
sorry.
Okay.
No, I was just gonna say to bring it back to the Venom and Sony. I don't know who would own Blade. For the Mobius movie, the rights are so convoluted after Marvel sold off half their stuff in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't know which characters, because for some reason, Paramount owned Fantastic Four, but now that Disney is going to own Fox Movie Studios, they get the Fantastic Four rights back for some reason.
Huh.
And I tried to find information on why, and there really wasn't much. Because as far as I can tell, Paramount and Fox aren't really affiliated in any real way. But maybe
weird.
Movies are so bad that they're giving them up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because those movies were bad.
They sure were.
But they didn't make a lot of money, unlike bad movie Venom.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It just didn't even... It didn't look good at all. Like, I just don't understand. And I bet the edit is probably a lot different for the Chinese market. Maybe.
Probably a little bit, yeah. Usually is.
I bet it has the potential to be. I just don't, and I know nothing about that market, but what the hell are they responding to? Like, what is so good in the Chinese version of that movie that Americans just aren't picking up?
Well, it wasn't even Americans. American audiences responded very well. I'm going to pull up the numbers right here. I should have done this before, but I mean, it got terrible reviews, but it made, it's over $210 million in the U.S.
Wow.
Or, well, North America, but that's most of the U.S.
And it was a pretty low budget, if I'm not mistaken, like $30 million?
I heard it was anywhere between 40 and 70, so I'm, you know.
Still, okay. A hefty return.
Even still, yeah.
That's insane. But, you know, we've heard about this kind of phenomenon, and we've seen the reverse of it, where critics love a movie and the audience just never appears.
Yeah.
God, there was a notable case. Oh, I mean, like Han Solo, right? Like Han Solo got pretty decent reviews. Mm-hmm. And everyone who saw it said it was good, but no one saw it.
Yeah, I guess that's a better example, because I was going to say Widows, this movie that just came out recently, that's like an Oscar-baiting movie, but that's a terrible example.
I've heard that's supposed to be really good, though. But
yeah, I've heard good things, but I don't... this is probably completely separate, but it's sort of like the horror movie thing, where if a horror movie is above like an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, audiences are almost definitely going to hate it, and vice versa. If it's a 30%, it's going to make $250 million and be a runaway hit. What people are looking for is, well, always different and always evolving. I think where China's at now, China's in kind of that late 90s, early 2000s mode of, we want to see stuff blow up for 118 of the 120 minutes the screen is going. I think that's where they're at right now. America went through that, like I said, late 90s, early 2000s. And it kept going a little bit with certain movies like Transformers later on. But now we've kind of evolved into, we want to see movies where we know the title and recognize the characters before we go into the theater. We're kind of in that phase right now.
I can see that. I think you and I were just recently talking because in our separate texts, I brought up Monster Hunter again, which I'm going to bring up now. And how... a lot of moviegoers.
When are you going to bring it up, Aaron?
Soon, not now, but soon. God damn it, you bastards!
You're talking about how you're very excited for Monster Hunter.
tongue in cheek movies. How we're kind of going for like tongue in cheek nods to characters we recognize from previous movies or other mediums. As it is with Monster Hunter, that's kind of how I'm going into it, because I have to see this movie. If I go into it expecting a true-to-form, seriously taken Monster Hunter, I'm going to be disappointed. So I am instead choosing to look at it as a tongue-in-cheek nod to the genre, to the series as a whole. The reason why I bring it up is there was a new photo released with Tony Jaa and his Monster Hunter World character next to Mila Jovovich and the real world character with a prop greatsword that everybody was pissed about because it wasn't large enough.
Sure.
Go ahead.
But, like, I'm just a weapon that would be true to size according to the video game. Yeah. Would not look good in real life.
No, absolutely not. And as somebody brought up, that somebody did make like a scale as it appeared in the video game, that scale greatsword, and it took like three people to move.
Yeah.
So there's no goddamn way that you could do that reasonably.
It's just one of
those
things where the fan base was never going to be happy anyway with certain elements of it. And the look, I don't know why they're making it a movie to begin with, but the look of it's never going to be quite right when you're adapting a video game that's set in a fantastical world that blends sci-fi, fantasy, and caveman times, frankly, together.
Well, and not only that, but also like anime styling sensibilities. Because, you know, let's all, as much as I love anime, they have no regard for proportion. Like, it's all whatever the hell they feel like. Which I love, but yeah, difficult to make look correct in a real world scenario.
I think The Matrix is the only successful movie to basically be an anime on film. but they ignored all the weird stuff about it. The superficial
yeah.
weird
stuff, I should
I can say. See that. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I just... And you're right, the fan base is never going to be happy. There's a point I was going to drive to with this, and I keep almost grabbing it and losing it again.
When, Ben? When?
Never. Let's move on. It's not worth it.
I've discovered that The Last Jedi isn't actually a movie.
Oh, no. What is it? A visual novel?
Go on.
No, it's a social experiment to see if we can kill ourselves in the internet age through only social media outrage without any physical interaction at all.
So,
and it's working.
The Force.
A little bit, Ben. A real literal force. No, I think it was designed to tear people apart. I think it was an insidious. It's not a movie. It's propaganda. I'm kidding. It's not the movie's fault. I just the way people talk about movies. The Last Jedi came at a really good time. In a bad way for it, but for us all, as hopefully we can learn how to talk to each other. But it's two fan bases yelling at each other about the exact same thing, and it's very comical to me now. Because I was in there too, but now I'm just going to take a step back and be like, oh, this is a movie and I don't have to like it. It wasn't very good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I loved it. But the reasons people loved it are purely manufactured, I realize, and it's so crazy. You've got the group of people who don't like it saying it ignores everything from episode 7 and just throws it out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, it does do that. It's really hard to deny that it does that. Even if you like that it did it, it did do that. But then you've got the people who like it going, well, it's a great movie because it ignored all that stuff, unless J.J. Abrams comes in and ignores all the stuff that I like, and then it's, you know, yeah. It's like just... Everyone likes it because they think they know where it's going, or they don't like it because they think they know where it's going.
It's, well, we'll see where it goes and see who was right.
Yeah, I mean, it'll come out next year, another year. It'll be a mix of the two. They're going to play it safe because they can't screw it up after kind of Solo underperformed. Although, I don't know, Solo was a whole different animal. I don't think that's a movie people were asking for.
Oh, this actually leads into the point I was going to try and make about Monster Hunter. It's just very tone deaf to the fan base.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very much like you see that there's a fan base out there.
Oh, sure.
So it's just like, let's do that with no concern about what they like about X franchise or what have you. They just are going to make something that they feel like they can write, slap the title on it, and hope it makes enough money back.
And Star Wars has a bigger general audience appeal.
Sure.
But it's not bulletproof. And yeah, with one like Monster Hunter, you don't have general audience appeal, probably.
Yeah, like that's Monster Hunter World did really, really well. Right?
Yes.
But
the video
did
game
it,
we stressed.
The video I should say. Yes. Yeah. Monster Hunter World. Numb1 and Hug Ninja.
Shout out.
Is the game that sparked the production of this movie. I don't have the numbers in front of me. It sold really well. It sold a lot better than anyone expected a Monster Hunter game could ever sell in the States.
I was going to say, it sold here really kind of surprisingly well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's traditionally an Asian market game, correct, Aaron?
For the most part, yeah. There are several titles that never made it stateside simply because they never really sold so well in the States.
Yeah. So it just seems like they saw a surprising success there and thought that they could make a profit on it. When really, like, the profit, I think, has kind of been made on it. You got to wait for more success than just that one, I think, to really have a viable movie franchise. And that's just a difficult, like, world. And, like, what we love about that game is difficult to translate into a movie.
Into this format of a movie. Again, they're doing, like, a CG true to form. This is going to be set in the Monster Hunter universe. No hints at... interdimensional yada yada,
sure,
into the real world, which in and of itself, I suppose, could be viewed as a trope. Probably the most successful of which is Space Jam.
Oh wow!
If I had to make an argument,
it's a good point. I never even made that connection, but you're right. Yeah.
And speaking of tropes, unless we have any further discussions, any news or anything.
I would just close out the Monster Hunter thing by saying what everyone loves about that game is not the story, right?
Like, right.
You don't play any of those games to be like, I wonder what my nameless hunter is, you know, going to endure next. No, it's about fighting big monsters with big weapons and carving new weapons out of monsters' faces.
Right. Literally the story of every iteration is, you're the new hunter in town blank. Go help the people.
Hunt progressively stronger monsters until you can hunt the strongest.
Right. Then you either shoot or slash or smack monsters in the face until they die. Then you carve them up and
well, that's what we talked about that in the video game episode. Either the story's already good in the game and you can't do it on the screen because there's not enough time, or there just isn't one and it's not worth pursuing anyway.
Yeah, right. Because a movie is it's a narrative. There's a story. There has to be to captivate your audience, and there's no narrative to latch onto in Monster Hunter, and to try and force this real world narrative on it is tone deaf to your audience. There, I looped it back. Boom.
Well, Last Jedi didn't have a narrative. The narrative was that there was a movie about Star Wars, but
but yes, we are not talking about that. We're talking about our favorite movie tropes. Mm. And there are so many of them out there to choose from. It is a smorgasbord, if you will.
Absolutely.
A treasure trope. Some trope and stuff. I think if I'm not going to impose, I might start before I forget mine again.
Please.
Thank you. I think this may be my personal favorite of all movie tropes. You have a character either willingly or accidentally becoming under the influence of some substance, whether that's a new, very strong form of alcohol, or it's marijuana or mushrooms or whatever the case may be, they go on a little trip.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having this great magical time, and then it cuts back to the real world and they're like singing in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Just like hugging a tree or whatever. That
the trip suddenly stops.
That will always kill me. And I think Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny, did that best. That may be one of my favorite scenes. That may be one of my favorite film scenes of all time.
Hereditary did that. It's a really well-crafted horror movie. They did that on accident because the mom is having a breakdown, for legitimate reasons, but having a breakdown of like screaming and crying and like throwing herself on the floor in her bedroom. And then they quick cut to the funeral and she's still doing it, and it's sort of weird and made you laugh a little bit, and it was kind of a similar thing. But that,
all right,
example, because it didn't work and it was weird, but
that is a good I love that. I love that bit of like showing what and then quick cutting to what the reality of the situation is. That's really fun. I should say that with the marked exception of Transformers 2, I generally like the trope of like someone unexpectedly ate drugs and now they're going crazy, a la Detroit Rock City when they drug the priest with magic mushrooms.
Oh yeah,
it's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Yeah. It took me, before you said that, I was like, what scene is he talking about?
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah.
Wait, what happened in Transformers 2 with that?
That was the pot brownies, if I'm not mistaken.
The mom made the pot brownies.
Yeah, yeah.
Way to go, Michael Bay.
He's a genius.
The super racist twin robots and whatever that giant one is where the wrecking balls were, you guessed it, the actual balls of this.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You know there's some audience member out like there who's like, he's a genius! Who else would have thought of that?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
that's okay. Both of yours were about drugs. I was just noting that to myself out loud.
Well, you're not wrong. The evidence is... proof is in the pudding.
I would say my big one that I like, and it's when it's done well, and it can be hard to do well, but fan service things, Easter eggs and stuff like that, pay off over the course of one movie or many movies. Easiest example, because it was a big one and a surprising one, recently was Red Skull appearing in Infinity War out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That was a cool... like, it still fit the story, because there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and if you didn't know who he was, it didn't really matter that much. But since we had all been on this magical journey over 10 years, it was a legitimately cool, like, oh!
Yeah, that
was... I remember that guy. Been here this whole time. Callbacks, just a wink to the fans. It can be done a little too obviously sometimes. Like, the Hobbit trilogy was real bad about it, but...
Or Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One. Yeah. Boy.
Rogue One was real bad.
And Solo, I've heard, was also bad about that, too.
Which one? You kind of broke up. Oh, Solo.
I've heard. I'm. This is weekend number whatever in a row that I'm telling myself I'm going to watch it. But it's a holiday weekend. I'm free.
Yeah. We can't have a trope episode, without talking about perhaps the ultimate trope. The MacGuffin. The MacGuffin is easily the most notorious trope. And I think probably the classic example of the MacGuffin is the Maltese Falcon.
Yeah.
Which I've read the book, but I've not seen the movie.
Oh, you haven't seen the movie? No. I've seen the movie, have not read the book.
The book is great. I don't know that I can read it again, because since I quit smoking, they're just constantly lighting up cigarettes in that book, and I tried reading a little bit of The Godfather a while ago, and I was like, nope, can't, just no.
Well, I wouldn't recommend watching the movie either, because the thing about Humphrey Bogart is he's also always lighting up a cigarette in movies and when he was still alive. Not as much in The Maltese Falcon, I suppose. In Casablanca, he never, I don't think he ever doesn't have a cigarette in his hand. That's not true. There's one scene where he has a bottle of whiskey and a glass in the other, but...
And a cigarette in his lips.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, getting the cigarette real wet every time he takes a drink, but... The Ark of the Covenant, I think, also That's qualifies a good one. As a MacGuffin.
Probably.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I'm just trying to think of an example where it wasn't done well.
I feel like there are so many of them out there that... there's got to be some bad one. I just can't think of a bad one. Yeah, you're now.
Pulp Fiction was good. The briefcase with the whatever it was in there. Yeah, the thing we
the
were never
shining
seen.
Light.
Yep. That's a good one. Classic MacGuffin.
There is an episode of Teen Titans Go where the MacGuffin is an egg sandwich. It's an egg MacGuffin.
In Star Wars The Force Awakens, it was Luke Skywalker.
You're right. Wow. Oh, here's, I'm just looking up, I just looked up bad MacGuffins, and here's, oh, speaking of the Ark of the Covenant, what about the Crystal Skull?
Yeah.
Was the Crystal Skull the aliens, the MacGuffin?
Yeah, I understand why people don't like Kingdom of a Crystal Skull, because it was not a good movie, but it gets hate for a lot of weird reasons. Like, oh, can you believe it's a crystal skull? That's real stupid. It's not as believable as the Holy Grail that grants immortality from Jesus. Ghosts melted Nazis in the first movie, everybody. Let's not forget that that's how that movie ended.
But they were like...
Ghosts melted the Nazis.
Power of God ghosts, you see.
That's true. It's, yes.
Yeah.
They were good ghosts. And aliens are bad ghosts. We do know this. That's science.
Yeah. That's...
But that Crystal Skull was just not a good movie. I get that. But everyone's like, they were aliens? How dumb. Yeah. Like, did you watch the other three? One of the Knights of the Round Table was living in a cave for over 1,000 years.
Definitely.
And at the end of the day, it was all a cup game. I never understood, like,
a cup.
You've obviously got the knight beat, and he can't even reliably raise his sword. Just don't drink from any cup. Yeah. Take them all. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why did they not? I just don't get it. I guess that's just not good movies if they find a way around all the tests.
Yeah, you can poke logic in every movie. And why don't they just wait for him to die? It was clearly going to happen soon.
That's, yeah, it's just like...
Was he immortal, or did he just age
Yeah,
really
just
slowly?
Watch see which glass he goes for, because he's going to have to take a drink before too long to keep going.
Yeah, just keep reaching for one and, like, test his reaction to all of them. Like,
Yeah. Unless he's been sitting in there for 1,000 years with a mirror, practicing his own poker face to himself.
All right. Now, if they reach for this one, I'll be like, ooh, I don't know. Yes, yes, they'll buy that.
I've got a good one. The MacGuffin. Did you guys see Jurassic World 2?
No.
It actually had a good MacGuffin. They were constantly in pursuit of a coherent story.
Or he's thinking
they're going to get there.
The search continues.
No, they're kind of the Indominus Rex, or whatever we're calling it in Jurassic World 2, was the MacGuffin by the end. Yeah, I know. I can think of one person who's going to.
Woo!
Text me about that one.
Well, that person should like better movies.
Oh, boy.
I think in Interstellar. I don't mind. Like, when people like bad movies, that's fine. As long as you just acknowledge it's a bad movie. I like Transformers.
You might
it's
have
movie,
rustled a few jimmies there, Doug.
Can't put my finger on why exactly. But
I don't know if it's a horrible movie.
Just like me with Mortal Kombat.
I think
horrible movie, but man, I love it.
But on a scale.
Yeah,
like
that's, I think we already.
Game movies,
it's not horrible. It's just not. It's not good.
We desert.
Yeah.
Okay, for the
our favorite. Yeah.
For the genre, yes.
The Meg is a good movie. No, it's not a good movie, but it's a fun movie because it knows what it is. Guess what Jason Statham's character's name is?
Oh, God. Is it, like, Swimmer?
No, but it's Taylor.
Oh, my God.
He has to have it end with an O-R.
Yeah.
An E-R.
Taylor.
Yeah.
Taylor. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that that brings us right along to one of my favorite tropes, which has a more accurate name, but... For purposes of my life and all the sotskers out there, it shall be known as the In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege story trope. It's the common man becomes a king, that trope. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, Star Wars did it with Luke Skywalker, with everyone. Luke Skywalker, Anakin. Rags to riches, like, no one to power.
Hey, that's Rags to riches.
Yeah. Rags to Riches is also a great trope that has been made some really good movies. Brewster's Millions comes to mind.
Oh, that's a good movie.
I love that movie. Pick a movie that like common man comes to power is a pretty common trope out there.
Yeah, you had Thanos is a recent one. Just a purple guy made fun of and cast aside as a madman on his own planet. And now look at
him. He destroyed half the universe.
Pretty much every Marvel hero and DC hero, for that matter, is similar.
Yeah.
I mean, oddly enough, Batman is not.
Who?
And maybe Superman. Batman. He was born into a life of luxury. He just had some very traumatic things.
Yeah, I mean, Black Panther is not a common man.
Yeah, Tony Stark.
Yep, Tony Stark's not a common man. Thor.
Captain America.
Captain America was. One, like,
yeah.
He was...
He started off all scrawny or whatever, and then got the super soldier serum tested on.
Captain America and Spider-Man are the same character, essentially.
Yeah, you could...
History. Not, like, in different stories.
You could argue that Captain America was uncommonly valiant, perhaps. And...
Okay.
That's what... That's why they picked him for the super soldier.
Yeah.
Do you think... Speaking of, like, the common man becoming something great, this isn't technically a movie, but does Paul Rudd fall into that category?
Just in life?
Paul Rudd he's at the head of a $1 billion franchise. And this is not a negative against Paul Rudd. It's just, would you see Paul Rudd on the street and not knowing him and be like, that guy's probably a movie star.
I don't know. He's got, I think he's got a little je ne sais quoi.
He does. He's something about, he has a certain type of charisma.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you can't fake it for sure. Again, I like Paul Rudd a lot. This is not an anti-Paul Rudd thing.
Settle down, numb one hug ninja.
You know.
We're going to get a message from Paul Rudd.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Wouldn't that be great?
Paul, if you're listening.
That would be amazing.
Love to have you on, as long as it fits our schedule.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not forget who the stars are.
Good reboots, but I can only think of one example, so it's not a trope anymore.
Yeah, I had one in mind that I, too, only have one really good example. But
that's, I think that's fine. I think
okay, I'll go ahead then. My example specifically is from Thor Ragnarok,
mm-hmm.
and that is the idea of a powerful or otherwise intimidating character acting really, like, childish or pedantic. And Hulk kind of throwing his little tantrum when Thor calls him out. Or I don't remember what it was. He said something mean to him. And he, like, stomps off and, like, shakes his fists and grunts. It's hilarious.
Well, that's what Taika Waititi actually does really well. He kind of coined it, what is it, comedy of the mundane, that it's just a regular real-life situation happening, but because of
yeah.
who it's happening to, it's really funny. Like his What We Do in the Shadows, the
that movie is
vampires
so
arguing over like who has to do the dishes that night and stuff like that. Like, it's just people, it's just roommates arguing. Oh, it's great. But, yeah, it's just people arguing over dishes, but it's three vampires who shouldn't be arguing over this.
Did you know that they're getting a TV show?
I did. Is it going to be the same cast and everything?
I don't know if it's going to be 100% the same. Actually, I know for a fact that it's not going to be the same cast, because they're at least adding people.
Sure, sure, sure. But it's like Jermaine Clement.
I don't.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah, but I do know that Matt Berry is going to be one of, on the cast now, and he's one of my favorite British actors. Toast of London. And
he's got
The Mighty Boosh.
His voice is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Smarmy villains getting their comeuppance at the end of the movie, finally, after weaseling their way out of it for like 90 minutes.
I think a really good example of that is The Fifth Element and Zorg. Damn. Yep. Emmanuel.
Yes.
Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg.
Wormtongue in Two Towers. Although, does he get his comeuppance in the third movie, I think?
Wormtongue doesn't really get his comeuppance in that. In the movie, unless you watch the extended edition, and even then, he doesn't really get his comeuppance. Saruman gets his comeuppance at Wormtongue's hands.
He just kind of gets caught, and that's about it.
That's a good one.
I guess you could say Loki.
Yeah,
Loki at the end of like, what would that be? The first Avengers. Yeah. He gets all smarmy with Hulk, and then gets shown what's what.
The one guy in Logan, I can't remember his name. Pierce.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. There's a lot of good examples out there. I'm just trying to remember movies that like end with the villain looking up and going, and you know, and that's all you see of them. That's the.
I know it happened in District 9 to the military captain at some point.
Oh man.
They're like shot apart by one of those guns.
That's
or
a
something.
Movie I haven't seen in a long time. I love that movie.
It kind of happens to Beetlejuice.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
It does happen to Beetlejuice, yeah. Sandworms.
I hate them myself.
Well, and even at the end when he messes with the witch doctor, he steals his number.
I forgot about that.
Whoa, wow! Hey, this might be a good look for me.
I am a big fan, and it's a trope that burns as often as it gives, but I love the, like, we were villains, or we were enemies, but now we have a greater shared enemy, so we're going to fight on the same side.
You're talking about the mega powers, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage?
That I am. That is exactly what I was referencing.
With lust in his eye. Oh, Macho Man was the best. He's dead now.
Oh.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Especially when it's over the course of a couple of movies.
Yeah. And like you were talking about fan service earlier, it's best, I like when they don't get to it too soon, right? Like, let it, like the Red Skull thing, how many movies did that take before we got that payoff? That's fantastic.
Like 12.
Like, the longer you can wait on that, the more, the more of a chance that you have of some of the audience being like, who the hell, what is, or even missing it entirely. I love it.
And I'm still upset with Heath Ledger dying. We never got the, now team up isn't quite the right word, but the Batman Joker team up against Bane and the what are they called?
Yeah.
League of Shadows in the movies. Because that's where that movie was going to go. Because they need each other, but instead it was Catwoman.
Yeah.
And they were more literally on the same team. But I guess that was one. That was a nice fan payoff slash two opposing forces that teamed up.
I'm trying to think of other ones. The one that comes most immediately to mind is Loki having been the villain, you know, for two movies and then being a hero basically for another two or three.
Sure. 310 to Yuma is a good version of that. It's very brief, but
The
outlaw and the farmer team up.
I'm trying to think of other, like, because there's a ton of them out there, but of course now that I'm trying to think of them, I'll never think of one. Thanks, brain.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how that goes every time.
Yeah, right.
Yondu and the Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, we're only bringing
there. We go.
We're stuck in comic books and specifically Marvel right now, but
true.
Well, they really do because the characters do, but not evil characters team up. I will still get a Thanos if it keeps going in like 6 or 7 years. We'll have a Thanos teaming up with the Avengers for a brief moment. Whichever Avengers it is at that point in time.
I think at that point, they'll probably start rebooting rather than keeping things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'll probably be the catalyst for the reboot. Yeah. Something. A secret war.
What?
Hey.
Crazy.
And then I think that's how they'll bring the X-Men in. But I have a lot of theories about a lot of things that have been wrong and right. Mostly wrong, but right once or twice.
We got a little keeping in touch with the Marvel. Who was the leader of the gorilla tribe that challenged T'Challa?
M'Baku.
M'Baku. Yep. He was a villain, and then they ended up pairing up with him.
Yeah, that was a cool way they did that too. Because in the comic book, he was literally a gorilla, like a man gorilla.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like what if they just were like a tribe that worshipped a gorilla instead? Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, that's
instead of having a gorilla.
Yeah, that's that's good job. Good job, movie planners. I saw somewhere that someone posted that from now on, instead of having a Stan Lee cameo in all the movies, there should just be a shot where Deadpool is somewhere in the screen. But with a gray mustache, a pair of aviators, and a gray wig on. Like, they don't even have to address him. He just needs to be in the movie somewhere.
And, like, keep him in the far background early, so you may or may not even see him.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Stan Lee cameo, rest in peace, Stan Lee, was that a thing that was getting tired? Or were you still into it every time? Because I flip-flopped from movie to movie.
I was never, like, into it. Like, I know people who were like, can't wait to see how they get Stan Lee in this one. I was like, it's not hard to do. There's like, a vehicle chase in every one. All you have to do is have one person lean out the window and be like, you damn kids! And that's Stan Lee. Why are we getting excited about this? That being said, he made almost all these characters. I don't begrudge him wanting to have that cameo or anyone wanting to give it to him. So if it was like a cute little like nod tip of the hat thing in the movie, I didn't mind it. I can't think of one that bugged me.
They were never really intrusive. I mean, the most lines he ever had was Black Panther, probably, where he took the chips over to his own side of the table. And then in Avengers. I think that's my favorite one. Infinity War, when he says, you guys never seen a spaceship before. Because that's a funny nod to the world that they all live in, too.
Good point.
Yep.
We ran out of tropes, we like.
There was one, I don't know if it really qualifies as a trope. I was going to bring up the animated opening credits to a movie. That's more of like a movie-making decision, but...
Yeah, and that's a thing, like, that was very big from like 1987 to 1992.
Yes,
I know. I'm thinking of like Neverending Story, Legend.
City Slickers had one.
Oh my god.
I would, yeah, City Slickers. I had to look that one up. apparently, had one. Apparently, Grease had one. I watched
Grease had one.
I think the prime example for me would be Christmas Vacation, because that's one. Yeah. I genuinely laugh at that one every single time. The rest that I saw were like, these are kind of hokey, but no, that Christmas Vacation one is genuinely funny.
The City Slickers one is really funny too, I think.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to sit down and watch that again. Ever since you brought that up last time.
Great movie.
I guess Neverending Stories isn't animated. It's just shots of crazy, crazy skies. But Labyrinth has an animated opening. It's not hilarious. It's kind of hilarious, even though it's not meaning to be.
It's pretty much that whole movie, isn't it?
Hey, watch it.
Well,
that movie is a fascinating case study in, if you didn't see it as a child, you're probably going to hate it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you did, you have very fond memories of it.
That's fair. I think there's a lot. I mean, I think a lot of movies are that way. I think The Goonies is that way.
I don't know about The Goonies. I think you would like Goonies more, having grown up on it as a kid. But that's still a good movie. It maybe when you're a kid, it's more effective because it's about kids. Labyrinth is just really weird.
Yeah, but that's great.
You just guys like David Bowie. That's fine.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
He reminds me of the Babe.
The Babe.
What?
Babe of the Pie.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to wait for a very long gap of silence before I said, what, Babe?
Oh.
And the Swamp of Farts.
Yep. The Bog of Eternal Stench. I know is kind of like that, and then, or you think it's going to be like that. You're like, if you didn't watch it, you're not going to like it as an adult, but then you watch it, and you're like, ooh, not even I like it as an adult. Is Time Bandits.
I've never even heard of Time Bandits.
I'm not familiar.
Are you kidding?
No.
Time Bandits, it's the same guy who did Baron Munchausen.
Alright, here we go. A young boy accidentally joins a band of time-traveling dwarves as they jump from era to era looking for treasure to steal.
Terry Gilliam.
Oh, Terry Gilliam, what the hell?
Yeah.
Sean Connery was in it?
Yeah, dude.
I've never even... This looks completely unfamiliar.
I can't believe you've never... Like, Aaron, I'd believe that you had never seen this because I only remember seeing it when I was very young.
Came out in 81.
And maybe...
Okay.
Maybe you had seen it, but I would believe you had seen it when you were too young to really remember.
Okay.
Time Bandits. No, I've never heard of this movie. It's not okay reviews. Like 7 out of 10 on most things.
And I think a lot of that is gonna end up being nostalgia. Cause like I'm looking, IMDb has it as a 3.5 star, yeah, like a 7 out of 10. And
I see 7 or 8 out of 10. Ugh.
I tried watching it again a while ago and it's just not good. It's just not good. And I remember it being this like, what an inventive and an imaginative romp for the whole family. It's 2 hours long. I swear to you, it feels like it's 3.5 hours.
That was a trope in the 80s where every movie had a kid in it, and the kid was like, oh, cool, we got to watch this kid live with monsters.
But it's okay, because the kid's courage, or love, or...
Or it's Fred Savage.
Or it's Fred Savage. We'll win the day.
And he's trying to impress Jennifer Love Hewitt or some other actress who's our age.
Speaking...
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah. God bless her. Another trope that I like, speaking of Labyrinth, are like minions. I like have lots of little minions and goblins and things like that. Ooh. Mooks. Oof, I'm gonna edit that right. out. Wow.
Yeah. Might wanna
keep it.
Might wanna
good lord.
Yeah. Well then, do I have a movie for you? Yeah, it's called Minions.
What?
Oh yeah. Look it up. It's great.
Ben meant to say ghouls. It could have been a lot worse, Ben.
I meant to say I was trying to find goons and mooks because I love the word mook, but you.
Oh, mook is such a great word.
Yeah, you mooks.
I'm going to use that more often now. I'm going to call each and every one of you a mook. All two of you.
I wish I could reveal to you right now that mook is incredibly racist, but.
Oh, what?
It's not. Well, I mean, it kind of means.
Oh, that's what you mean. I
wish that it was the case that I could be like,
hear that? Internet, Doug wishes there were more racist words. You heard it here first. And last. This is now the last episode.
I wish every word was racist. We're getting, no sponsors, but we're getting canceled.
We had a good run.
Oh. Yeah, I love the, when you said you love groups of minions, I also only could think of the movie Minions.
I know.
They were funny in Despicable Me.
Yeah, when they first showed up, when they was like, okay. Part
of the movie. I have never seen a Minions movie. I've seen Despicable Me, the first one.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say you haven't seen that one. But yeah, Despicable Me was good.
That was good.
Minions was a movie made to sell toys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And there are lots of those, but...
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean...
Your beloved Transformers.
Whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Literally invented to sell toys.
Yeah.
That's why they wanted them to kill all the robots in the first animated movie. It's so they could make new toys.
Oh, wow.
Never mind that you could just add more.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Hasbro wanted them to kill them off so they could make more new ones.
Yeah, because... Well, I never understood that, because look at Batman. How many different styles of Batman action figures did you ever have? Because I can remember at least like four different Batman action figures that we had.
Yep.
Somebody cut that together. What was I watching? I was watching a thing about why Batman 3 with Michael Keaton and Tim Burton didn't happen. And they were talking about how Batman and Batman Returns were never supposed to be made for kids. And while they're having these conversations, they're intercutting it with all those commercials of, yeah, here's Batman, yeah. Here's scuba gear, Batman Returns on sale, that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think movie studios just need to stop it. Let the toy companies make toys of whatever, and who cares? Because people will still buy it. But
I mean, how many versions of Michelangelo did I own? Ignore the entire like rest of the Ninja Turtles. Just Michelangelo. I had at least three different versions of him. One of them that talked. One of them that shot pizzas, and one of them that was just a Ninja Turtle. Oh, and for another one that turned into a regular turtle,
yeah.
Even though the Ninja Turtles only started as small regular turtles.
And another one where he was a mariachi band.
You're right! Oh, God, he was in a mariachi uniform and he had a mustache.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What is that now? Well, I mean, the Marvel stuff is easy, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those. Like, I cannot believe some of the toys that are out there with, like, what are they? They're like mean beans. And it's like little weighted plastic beans that will, like, roll because the weight inside keeps shifting. And they just look like gross faces painted on these beans. It's like, collect them all! Why? To do what?
To collect, to have them.
To and then I will what them?
Well, there are entire video games based on, look at Destiny. Do this activity. Why? You could get this legendary gun. Okay.
Oh.
It still fires.
Take it
right?
away from you in the next DLC.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's Diablo, that's WoW, that's...
Oh, that's every loot grind. I mean, it's the same principle.
But it's so good.
It's gambling, but not, but it is.
It's so good, though. I want another Borderlands.
I'm surprised they haven't made another
Borderlands. They're working on one. They're good. Working on Borderlands.
Although, I never...
I'm going to live in this Red Dead Redemption world for a few more months.
I never played the pre-sequel.
The pre-sequel is actually surprisingly good.
I heard
it's pretty short. It's short compared to the others, but it's fun.
Well, the others are pretty long.
No, yeah, absolutely.
That's one thing I always felt was good. We're getting way off track, but that's one thing that I always thought was really good about the Borderlands games. I always felt like I got my money out of them because I felt like the story was good and long. Although there's a lull toward the end there where you kind of like, you kind of have everything. There's not a lot of leveling up left mm-hmm. to do. It becomes really about the loot, and then the loot becomes kind of good loot becomes sparse.
You know what Borderlands does really well? Plays on video game and action movie tropes and twists them around.
That is a really good point.
Yeah. You're
got it back. It does, though. I mean, it legitimately does. It makes fun of all those stupid, like, every boss is bigger than the last, and mm-hmm. the over-the-top action movie thing of people having ridiculous names and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a dynamite. I think they may have even... he throws dynamite at people.
I think they may have even played on the whole, like, this enemy's a different color, ergo they're stronger.
Yep.
Ninja Turtles 2 had the toy problem because everyone saw Ninja Turtles like, this isn't a kid's movie, and they were like, we never told you it was a kid's movie. And then so in Ninja Turtles 2, Michelangelo fights with a sausage.
Michelangelo uses sausage nunchucks.
Combat cold cut.
And threatens...
It's so fascinating, though, because as a kid... Secret of the Ooze was my favorite, but now as an adult, like, nah, that first one's a much better movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the second, in Secret of the Ooze, you get to see Toga and Rezar, who should have just been Bebop and Rocksteady. I don't get why they didn't do that. But
yeah, I never understood that either. Because then when you saw the trailer, I thought the turtle was going to be Slash, but then it wasn't even that.
Yeah. So, I don't know why they didn't do Bebop and Rocksteady there, except in a weird way, by making Toga and Rezar kind of childish monsters, it became okay for the turtles to kind of fight them.
Yeah, that was weird.
Maybe because it was kind of proven that the turtles were basically unable to hurt them.
Then they put the things in the donuts.
Yeah.
To shrink them back to size.
The ice cube antidote.
Yeah. Not a solid
narrative. No, not. I don't think it
won. I did respect, though, at the end of Ninja Turtles, because they kick Shredder into the trash can and it compacts him. And then in Turtles 2, they just like have him getting out of the dump truck.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm fine. Yeah. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Foot Clan, that I worried you. But I'm good.
Yeah, does Ninja Turtles 2 pick up, like, later that same night?
It seems to pick up shortly after. Like, at most, a couple of days.
I don't know, because it sure seems like when we... Because I can't remember his second-in-command's name. The bald guy with the mustache who is always angry.
I have to look it up. I'll come up. You can keep talking. I'll look it up here.
Because the first you see Shredder's hand emerge from the garbage, and then a little while later they cut to him... like, bringing the foot soldiers back to their headquarters, and he's like, I'm in charge now! Does anyone want to challenge me? And it's like, it seems like he seems angry that their little attack failed, so it seems pretty immediate, mm-hmm. but that would be an interesting...
Tatsu, yeah, his name is Tatsu, that's what I thought.
Tatsu?
Tatsu.
Well, how about that? Well, how do you like that?
Sam Rockwell, bringing it back.
Hell yes.
Not the second, he was just in the first one, I think.
Yeah. Regular or menthol? Greatness. You know greatness when you see it. Well, any other tropes that we can trip?
I don't have any. It turns out there aren't many good ones. I mean, there are, when they're done well, there can be a lot of good, you know, anything. There's good, bad movies, good, bad tropes.
I think it comes back to that idea that there is nothing new under the sun.
Sure.
Every story has been told in some variant or variation. Excuse me. All you have to do... Sorry, I accidentally hit the mute button on my microphone. And
whoops.
Yeah.
It kind of sounded like you got attacked by a very small animal.
Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. So there's going to be tropes. There's going to be tropes in everything we see, only because you can't get away from them. Try and get away from one trope, you're just going to write yourself into another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
subverting the genre is now its own trope that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Just doing the opposite isn't subverting. So anyway, enough about The Last Jedi again. Bringing it all the way back around.
Folks, I'm sure that you are all encyclopedias of trope knowledge. I'm sure you can tell us which ones we missed, which ones we talked about but didn't really actually address. The actual names for the tropes that we mentioned, although I will maintain that the common man to emperor story is now and forever shall be known as the In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege story trope.
I thought of a great example of the enemies turned together toward a common enemy.
Who's that?
It's Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Two bitter enemies.
And it's all thanks to Martha.
Yeah. Martha!
Gotta save Martha.
Why did you say that name? My mom's name was Martha, too. We're brothers. Yeah, tell us what we did right, Num One Hug Ninja, or tell us everything we did wrong, Doug's brother.
No, he will.
Yeah, so will mine. Just as soon as we're done recording here, I'm going to get a call and he'll be like, so, notes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Sotskers one and all. Remember that you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where we are Sotswatch, SOTSWATCH.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug. We got to rehearse that one of these days. We're going to rehearse that. We're going to get it right.
No, I like
the front and the back.
I like this organic stumbling.
It's just the you can tell we're lifelong friends. We can speak without speaking to each other.
This is true.
And only our audience suffers.
Who's what audience?
Yeah.
Only three or four people.
Doug, take it away.
Keep watching, Sots.